we're coming up to the 50th anniversary of JFK's death, and the single most important thing he ever said was a soundbite.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
But was JFK a rhetorical genius or simply a painter reaching for a toolbox and doing it by numbers? In this week's Spectator, Mark Forsyth looks at where the soundbite came from. We were just saying before, Mark, that politicians don't seem to be very good at this these days.
They're not. Well, British politicians aren't. The coalition specifically aren't. The coalition haven't produced in whatever it is, 3 years in power now, not one memorable line, which is just terrible. They should be working harder at this. The only line that anyone even vaguely remembers from Cameron is Hug a Hoodie, and that was actually invented by News of the World headline writer, not him.
Because at this year's Conservative conference, they had these six messages that just go everywhere, and eventually they keep repeating them, shoehorning them into every speech. But no one outside remembers them, I don't think. They just don't have the catchiness. Why is that? What tools of rhetoric are they not using?
Well, there are a bunch of them. I mean, I wrote a book about 39 of them, but they could be using, for example, there's epizeuxis, which is incredibly simple, really. That's you take a word and you repeat it three times, preferably. So Tony Blair said, education, 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 and everybody remembers that. And 3 months later, he was clearly so pleased with it, clearly knew what he was doing, and decided to call John Major weak, weak, weak. And he probably got it from Margaret Thatcher saying no, 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 or maybe he got it from the estate agent's line, location, 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 or Tennyson's break, break, break on the cliffs so sea, or King Lear's howl, howl, howl. But it's so incredibly simple to do. You just need a bit of alliteration like Hug a Hoodie, or a bit of epizeuxis like those repetitions, or indeed the chiasmus, which is what JFK was using there. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. It's not the men in my life, it's the life in my men, T for two, two for T, which is just take a sentence and make it symmetrical.
In your excellent piece for this week, Mark, which we're very, very lucky and grateful to have, you mentioned that the advertising industry often come up with the best catchphrases, or the best rhetoric first, and politicians would do well to pay more attention. What would you suggest? Is there anything that comes to mind that the coalition could look to for inspiration? Ooh. I can't think of a single, myself, advertising catchphrase at the moment.
I saw I was on the Tube the other day, and I saw on the station platform there was an advertisement for a gambling website, and said, you don't stop playing when you get old, you get old when you stop playing. And I was thinking, that's another chiasmus, exactly the same as Kennedy, exactly the same as Obama's, you stood up for America, now America must stand up for you, which is what he said to a group of veterans. Yeah, chiasmus is a nice, simple one. Or you could take...
Because it has the appearance of meaning, even if you... It takes a bit of time to sort of think it through. You think, oh, well, that sounds clever, so therefore Cameron's
clever.
Yeah,
it takes ages to work out that there's nothing kind of going on there. I mean, there's George Bush, because every single US president and presidential candidate uses a chiasmus ever since Kennedy. George Bush said, if we cannot bring our enemies to justice, we must bring justice to our enemies. And it's a good chiasmus. It's very memorable. Everyone still knows it. But if you stop and think about it, I don't really see the difference at all.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So if you this toolbox of things that you can do, could you say, just give the, say, John Prescott and turn him into the most fantastic orator that you've ever seen?
that would be pushing him, but yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, even John Prescott ought to be able to say one word three times, and that's, as I say, all you really need for a memorable line. Well, that's one of the very simple methods, or you just put in that little bit of alliteration, Hug a Hoodie, or whatever it happens to be. And I mean, in advertising, it's amazing the number of products we use which are alliterative. I mean, it's sometimes right under your nose when you're drinking Coca-Cola or eating a Kit Kat, it's literally under your nose, or when you're paying by PayPal or whatever it happens to be. And people have had a go at this. I mean, the last election, the Labour Party slogan, as I recall, was A Future Fair for All. And I looked at that, and rather than thinking I'm going to vote for one party or another, I thought, oh, very good, nice little alliteration on Fs, exactly the same as Full Fathom 5, Your Father Lies. Which
really? I just thought it didn't... I thought it was promising sort of circuses for everyone. I couldn't work out what it meant at all.
Bit too much like A Future Free for All.
Yeah.
Which would have been more my idea. I'd have voted for that.
But the emphasis on the wrong word there, because it's a future fair, sounds
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
It's not how you... You have to... You have to wrap your phrase around the way people speak. It can't be too far off, can it?
A fair future for all would probably have been a little bit better.
Yeah, but it wouldn't have sounded, I suppose, as rhetorical.
So if there's one single tip, what would it be, Mark?
It would be that it's not what you say, it's how you say it. It really is style over substance, especially in these days of the soundbite. And anything, I'm just, you know, the verbal paradox of Labour isn't working was beautiful. Everyone still remembers that, whatever it is now, 30 years later.
And the key phrase that the Tories managed to shoehorn into everything is for hard-working people at the moment. Does that have any merit to it whatsoever?
It's what's called in modern rhetoric a glittering generality, which is that everybody thinks they're hard-working people. Bankers think I'm a hard-working person and teachers think I'm a hard-working person, so it sort of works like that, but it's not that memorable, really.
Because who thinks to themselves, I'm not a hard-working person?
I do. I definitely do. I've always wanted... My politics has always been... Because everything is for families and for hard-working people. I'm going to start a political party for lonely layabouts.
Great. Well, we'll vote for you, won't we, Sam?
I'll go for that. That sounds fantastic.